Rabbi said today's daf is daf ayin. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amid where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah Tanan, Hamavakeris, Hamakashel Leilid. What is this all about? As you recall, yesterday we spoke about in the Mishnah and then in the Gemara that when you have a Mavakeris means a behema that is giving birth for the first time and is going to produce a Bechor. That's a Loshon Mavakeris. What's the din? The Kedushas Bechor in the baby is only after the baby is born. How do I know? Because the Pusik says, Kol HaBechor Asher Yivulei B'vkorucho U'vitzoyimcha HaZochar. Yivulei tells us it has to be after the Leda. And therefore our Mishnah tells us, as long as the Vlad is inside the mommy's stomach, that Vlad does not have Kedushas Bechor. And therefore we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, take a quick look at the Mishnah, Hamavakeris. The behema is producing its first kid, its bechor. Hamakasha leilid is having difficulty in the pregnancy, in the labor. Mechatech eiver, the owner or the doctor can go and cut off various limbs from that vlad to allow the vlad to come out more easily and so that the behema should survive. And you can take those evorim amashlech leklavim, you can throw it to the dogs. How can you throw it to the dogs? This is the kedushas bechor. The answer is it does not get Kedushas Bechor until after the animal is born. When is it considered to be born? Either when the Roish comes out or the Roiv of the Behema emerges from the Mami's Rechem. But until that time, it's regular Chulin. So you're allowed to be Mechatach Eiver, and you can throw it to the dogs to eat. However, says the Mishnah Yatzerubai, once Roiv comes out, then the Vlad is considered to be born. If it's born, it has Kedushas Bechor. Then you can't throw it to the Klavim. Harizeh Yikover. So that's what we learned in the Mishnah. And in the Gemara, we had a machlokes yesterday between Rav Huna and Rabba. That when the Kedusha attaches to the Bechor after it's born, does it go only Mikan Ulahaba, or does it even go Limafreya? What difference does that make? Limafreya, Mikan Ulahaba? You'll recall the Gemara had two nafkiminis yesterday. But we're going to address now, according to Man Yama that holds Limafreya, Zok the Gemara Tanan. Top of the Omid Ayin Omid Aleph, Amma Vakeris, Amma Kasha Leilid. Mechatech Eiver, like we just had in the Mishnah, cut off limbs, Mashal Chaklov, and you can throw it to the dogs. Freit the Gemara. Maila Mechatech Umeiniach. The Mishnah is not very clear on this point because it doesn't address it. And it says, Mechatech Eiver. Now, after you're Mechatech them, what do? You immediately throw it to the Klavim? Or you allow them to accumulate? And so the Gemara assumes that since the Mishnah is silent, it allows even for Mechatech Umeinia. In other words, as you cut another limb, you put it on the side. Another limb, put it on the side. Until it even adds up to a full roiv. And what happens at this time? Says the Mishnah, you could still throw it to the Klavim. The Amris Lemafreya Hu Kodesh, if you're telling me that it works retroactively, Lemafreya, you should say at this point, Roiv has already come out, I've already been Mechatech Roiv. Once it's Roiv, it's considered to be a Leda. Once it's a Leda, it's considered to be Kedushas Bechor. So, okay, you're going to tell me, so from now on, I'll be very careful. No! According to Rav Huna, that says that it goes Lemafreya, then you have to go and say that all of these chituchim, chatichois, of the Aver, have now, lechatchil lemafreya, all become the Scottish beknushes bechor. That being the case, how can you be mashlech leklavim? You have to go and be koiver, you cover me, boyalei. Everything more, loy, the kasha nishka kasha, hochemayeskinam lemachatech umashlech. It's talking about that every time you cut off an Aver, you cut off another 5% or 10% of the animal. Since that 5-10% did not have Kedusha, you threw it immediately to the dogs and the dogs ate it all up. Yes, eventually all of those chatichos together accumulate to a roiv, but by that time they've all been eaten up already. So Rashi says, even the lesnahu, they don't exist anymore. Amai, Teichel HaKedusha, how will the Kedusha be chal on those chatichos? They've already been hushlach and eaten by the Klavim. And so therefore, that's why you're allowed to throw them to the klavim, because prior to becoming roiv, there's no kedusha, just regular chulin. Continues the Gemara, Avil, what would you therefore say? The machate chumay niach mai, he would say, nacharam yikoveh, that if you took off one aver and nochan aver and dritta aver and fifth aver, and finally you got a roiv, and you put it all together in one place, you couldn't go and throw it to the club, and you'd have to yikoveh, you'd have to go and bury it. L'choyah, that's what comes out, because this man the Yomah holds l'mafreya. If that being the case, frankly, you might have a ton of sefer. Why is the sefer of our Mishnah? Say Yatzeru, by once Roiv comes out, Yikover, which means it's all coming out at one time. And the Nifter M'choyra, and then this animal's Potem M'choyra, the next one that will be born will not be a Bechor, because this was the Petarechem. Break to my lifting, listen to the day. Why do I have to go from one case to the other? The first case in the Mishnah, remember, was Mechatech Eiver Eiver. The second case was that the whole roiv comes out and you want to go and cut it now. And therefore we said in the Reisha, since it wasn't roiv yet, it has a din of chulin. The second case, roiv has come out, there's been a leida, now you cover it. Frey Timura, lifnik v'listen b'didei. Instead of changing the fact pattern, let's talk about the same facts. The man for Mamurim, when did we say in the Reisha, mashlich l'klovim b'mechateich u'mashlich Aver, Aver. As he keeps on cutting another Aver, immediately, hey, come over here, Fido. Come over here, hint, and you go and throw to the dogs immediately. There's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to, because there's no Kedushas Bechor. It's less than Roif. Avil, let the Mishnah now continue on. But worry to be Mechatech, piece by piece, 5%, 10%. Umeniach, and let it accumulate together of a pile of these Chatichos. Then you cover. So why does the Mishnah have to go and say that he took out the entire roiv all at once? Let us talk about even aver aver, but instead of being mashlech l'klavim immediately, he was meniach, and then there too would be a din of harizei yikover. And for the mahachinami kama, that in fact is the real pshat in the Mishnah. We start off the Mishnah again. You have the mevakeres and hamekasha leilit. You mechatech aver aver. What's the din? Mashlech l'klavim. We have to add these words, either physically add the words, or at least in parentheses. The din that you can go and be mashlech l'klavim is, if every time you mechatech another aver, shnel, throw it and give it to the dogs. What happens if you let it accumulate and now you have a whole bunch of chatichos, which all total more than a roiv? It's as if a whole roiv came out all at once. For basachas, the yikover. Shoy, ishemenish kakasha on Rav Huna that said that it goes the mafre. Very good. Now the Gemara is going to ask a bunch of shaylas from here to the bottom of the Omid. All very interesting shaylas. Boy Rava, holchu beivorim achar haroiv, oiloi holchu beivorim achar haroiv. When it comes to the eivorim which are in the vlad, do you go after roiv or don't you go after roiv? So the Gemara asks the obvious question: Hey Chidami, what are the facts? What is the fact pattern that you're talking about? Does it go after roiv? Elain, if you're going to yotzer roiv, b'miut aver. Ah, roiv. Let's step back just for 1 second. Remember, when does the vlad, which is going to become a bechor, when does it get kedushas bechor? When it's born. As long as it's inside the rechem, no kedusha. When it comes out of the rechem, it gets kedusha. But even when it comes out of the rechem, it's only when the vlad is considered to be born. When is it considered to be born? Either when the roish comes out, like we learned in the Mishnah, or when roiv comes out, either roishoy or rubai. Fine. I am patient, Baruch Hashem. This behemah is not nekasha leilid. The birth is going very, very naturally, very, very nicely. No birth pains. So I let it come out. I'm not choytech any pieces whatsoever. And guess what happens? Roiv of the behemah has now emerged. And we say, ah, mazel tov. We now have a bechor. What do you have to go and do with a bechor of a behemah? You have to give it to the kohen. Kohen has to bring it for carbon to the Beis Mikdash. If it turns out that it's a bal mum, then he shechs it outside the Beis Mikdash. But now we have our roiv. We have now our vlad, which is a bechor. Zokti Yitzigmara, what happens if roiv came out 51%, But to get to that 51%, we had to go and add a miut eiver. Meaning, one eiver came out, another eiver. Remember, if the roish came out, that's already considered to be yolid. So here it was a breech birth, so to speak, where the feet came out first, and one foot and another leg, and a hina leg, and nocha leg. And you have now 51%, but the 51% consists of 48% of the animal, and 3% is a miut eiver. In other words, let's say one of the legs. Only a portion of the leg, the last of the bottom of the leg came out, but most of the leg is still inside the mummy. So what's the shayla? The kamiboyle. Hai miut debroi. That miut that is now emerging, that protrudes, basaroiv de eiver shadinale. After all, we have it, chola tere kula, the din of rubai kikulai. So you go basaroiv. You go basaroiv eiver, and if you go basaroiv eiver, most of that eiver is still inside. So even though physically that miut eiver is outside, if you go basaroiv eiver, you deem it and consider it as if it's still inside. If that's the case, I lost my majority. I lost my right because only 48% of the rest of the animal came out. This additional 3% was part of an eiver, but roiv of that eiver stayed inside. So maybe I should throw that 3% also back inside. And now I don't have...
Aggregate is not good.
What do you mean?
Aggregate. In the aggregate, meaning the
total.
Yeah.
No, so according to this side of the boya, it's not good, and we have to take that 3% and deem it as if it's still inside. Or you maybe not. Basaruba the uber shemdinle. There's another roiv that's at work over here, and that's the roiv of the uber. Roiv of the uber is outside, including that shtikla miut eiver. So now I have a question: should I go and throw it after that roiv? And if I throw it after that roiv, then I have a leida of this vlad, and therefore this vlad is deemed to be a full fledged bechor with all the kedushas bechor. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is, I know that there's a rule that you have to go basarot, but this eiver finds itself in a very peculiar situation. There are two roivs that are working at here, and the two roivs are in conflict with one another. If I go and say that I go after roiv of the eiver is still inside, I don't have a roiv later, and therefore it doesn't get Kedushas Bechor yet. Or do I say, forget about the eiver? I look at the bigger, wider picture. The wider picture is I have an uber over here, and Baruch Hashem, roiv of this uber is coming out together with that miut eiver. Don't look at the rest of the eiver, but look at the rest of the uber, and therefore deem this piece, not only deem it, but since it's already protruding, leave it protruding and have the din of contributing to the roiv, and therefore the Kedushas Bechor is already set in. Says Yimur, if that were the pattern, the fact pattern, Shita Dole Shavkinan Ruba de Uber Vazlinan Busa Roiv Eiver, I would certainly go after the bigger picture and not the smaller picture. In other words, what should I do with this Miut Eiver? Should I leave it as part of the Roiv of the Uber, and therefore I have now a full fledged Bechor? Or do I say, no, I go bust the roiv of the eiver, and I don't have a bechor because roiv of the eiver is still inside, and I don't have rubai that's come out yet. Says Gemara, it's a double pashut. We're not going to be worried about the small roiv eiver. We'll look at the bigger picture. We look at the roiv of the uber, and roiv has come out. So if that's pshit, Zok to Gemara, so what was the shaila then that Rav asked, ho chabei var macher ha roiv? Ella says Gemara, a different fact pattern. Exactly 50% of the uber came out. Of course, normally we say but theoretically, if I knew for a fact that I had 50% exactly came out, and that 50% included roiv of an eiver, so now we're talking the mirror image of the previous case. Since roiv of the eiver came out. However, even with that roiv eiver, I only have 50%. I don't have 51, I only have 50. Can I deem the rest of the eiver, which is still inside the mami's rechem, as if it came out already? Because the miut goes basar roiv. So how miut to be gavoi? the miut that's left inside, ma'ul mishdayah, can I go and throw it, basaroyv aver, and say, I take a picture, it's only 50%, but halachically it's already 51, 55%, because I schlep the miut aver that's inside, and I add it to the outside. Toshima, so let's try to be poishit. It says in the Mishnah, yatsa rubay harizeh yikover. Frank Digmara, my rubay, what does it mean that roiv was born, and therefore yikover has now kedushas b'chor? Ilema rubay mamish, to mean mamish rubay, 51%, 60%. Ad hashali yashmein and the rubay kikulay. B'chola teira kula, we know that rubay is kikulay. I need a Mishnah here, mesech teschul and a daf samach tes, to repeat a well known a halach of Chazal.
From the Daf Yud Aleph, you know.
Oh, Daf Yud Aleph, yeah, exactly. Have in other places. Hello. To my love, Mistoma, the case of the Mishnah is our fact pattern. He's going Shiyotze Chetzi Beroy Eiver. And now what we're telling us in the Mishnah is that even though you only have Chetzi, but since Roiv Eiver came out, we're going to deem the remaining miut aver bigavoy, which is inside, as if it's outside, and now I have my roiv. Oh, look to Yomori yet. If that's the case, I can be poishit my shayla. When it says in the Mishnah, yotze rubai, we don't mean yotze rubai. Mamish, we mean halachic rubai, because we had chetzioi, and I add the shtikla aver, which is still inside. So I can be poishit my shayla. Everyone, like, you can't be poishit shayla. Why? It's talking about roiv. In other words, we're going back to the original way the Gemara assumed Rav Shaila was, and that is roiv came out of the uber, but that roiv consisted of miut aver, 3% or whatever. The Kamash Malon, our Mishnah is coming to tell you, to le shavkinen rubai the uber the behema vazlinen basa aver. We don't forget about the roiv of the uber and say, well, let's go bust a roiv aver. And if we go bust a roiv aver, then that miut aver that came out, we have to deem it as if it's still in. And therefore, I don't have 50%. No, we don't look at the small picture at the aver. We look at the big picture at the uber. And since this aver is part and parcel of this uber, we will consider roiv uber to have emerged by the fact that the miut came out, and we will not schlep it back in. Zokimor Vaita. Boy Rava. New Shaila. These Shailas are very, very fascinating Shailas. The Torah says, when is a behema a bechor? When it's peter rechem. Poiter es a rechem. The Gemara now is very, very literal in peter rechem and says it only should be poiter es a rechem if when it's emerging, the behemoth is touching the koisle harechem. And because of that, the Gemara has a series of shailas where technically the baby that's emerging did not touch the rechem. It was inside the rechem the whole time. Oh, let's see. Boy Rava, korchoi besif, meaning that as the behemoth is emerging, and we're not talking about the roish. Once the roish comes out, it's already kiyolet, it's already born, pet the rechem, done. So we're talking about that it's a breech birth, meaning that it's coming out legs first, lemoshel, and as it's coming out, korcha besif, the midwife, the nurse, whoever is in charge, was koirich, wrapped the emerging parts in sif. Sif, says Rashi, is like the bark of a deckle tree, of a pine tree, like you have in Florida, these tall pine trees. So there's an outside layer, which is called sif. In English, I think it's called bast, B-A-S-T, whatever it is. Anyway, the korcha b'siv mau, the talis mau, they're going to put a talis around it, or b'shliyasi mau, or put the afterbirth, the sac where you have all the amniotic fluid, they put that around the baby. That third question doesn't make any sense. B'shliyasi orcheihu, I mean, that's how most of the vlades are born, with such a sac around it. So it's always that case. So what's your shayla? We're talking about that it didn't have its own shilyor. It did. And whoever was extricating the baby from the mommy's womb put a separate shilyor around it. In all of these cases, and there'll be another case as well, the shayla of the Gemara is this deemed to be a chatzitza? A the fact that you put the sieve or the talis or the shilya around it is a chatzitza. And if it's a chatzitza, when it's emerging from the rechem, it's not touching the rechem anymore, so maybe it's not called a peter rechem. And another similar shayla. Yes?
Technically,
yes.
Technically, how did she do that? While the baby was inside, he wrapped it around before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Be
with us, Rabbi. Be with us one more minute. You'll see the Gemara is going to explain a little bit further. Next shayla of the Gemara is: what happens if the owner or whoever the nurse that is extricating the baby goes and puts his or her hand inside the womb and extricates the baby that way? Karchosay puts the hands around it. Achzosay grabs and holds on to the baby. Vatziosay. And then pulls the baby out of the womb. Now, so what would be the din now? Once again, do you say that the hands of this person that's doing the extrication is a chatzitz? So sokti mar heichidam. Now to address Rabbi's shayla. Eden nofak derech reishe. If you're telling me that the head already came out, and now what is the nurse doing? They're putting around the rest of the body as it's coming out. The sieve. Mit the talis, mit the shilya, patrosa, the late is over already, meaning that this Vlad already has Kedushas Bechor, and it's already poiter sarachem, because as soon as the Roish comes out, we're done. I don't care what happens with the rest of the body. Oh, the reglaim came out first, and after the reglaim started coming out, then the nurse said, this is a breech birth, I'm all nervous about it. Let's go make sure the baby is as comfortable as possible. And then as the baby is coming out of the womb, he or she puts around the baby this shilya or this talis or the sieve, or is grabbing it with the hands. In all of these cases, there's a case of a chatzitza. The Rabbi was wondering, why would we do this? Lahavdil al fi'abdulis, even when a baby is born to a woman, the first thing is that the nurses come and they take blankets and put it around the baby to keep it warm. The baby was inside the mother's rechem now for the last 9 months. All of a sudden it comes out, it feels like it's air conditioned, and it's, the baby can catch a cold. So they immediately go and... I'm sorry, what was that?
No, we're good.
Good. I hope it'll be even better and better. So they go and wrap the baby with such a blanket and whatever. So... if the roish of this vlad came out, then there's no shayla. As soon as the vlad comes out, the roish, that was our leida, peterechem, done. It has kedushas b'chor. Here it's talking about that the legs came out. The legs came out as gunish. We have to wait until the roish. So as more and more of the body is emerging, immediately they go and put around the baby this talis, this chulia, or the put the hands around it. So when it's emerging, it's no longer touching the koisle harechem because of the putting the talis and all that around. So now the question is it a chatzitza? It was not poiter es harechem, and therefore it does not become a bechor. Doesn't get kedushas bechor. Another similar case. Velosoi chulda vaitziyosoi mal. A chulda is a weasel. So weasel came, and velosoi, the chulda was there observing the birth of this new Vlad, and the Chulda says, you know what, I'm going to help out. I see Nebuch, the mommy's Makasha Lele, and there's nobody over here to help out. So the Chulda goes and swallows up the Vlad, Voitziyosai, and extricates the Vlad from the Rechem through that swallow. So Ma, what's the din now? Frey Timura, I don't understand what's your shayla. Voitziyosai ha'afikte. The Chulda is already taken, and there's no question that the baby is not touching the walls of the rechem because the chulda went in and was boileya. So then it doesn't get kedushas bechor. For that matter, the Gemara at this point could say that the baby is dead because the chulda went and swallowed it alive. But we'll see in a moment why the Gemara doesn't say that. So bottom line is afikte, if the chulda extricated the baby in its stomach by swallowing it up, then about it's not touching the koisli harechem, so it's not poitis harechem. So what's the shayla? Ella's talking about belosoi, the chulda swallowed the baby, haitziyosai removed it from the rechem, and then the chulda says, you know what, this vlad doesn't taste so good, and I don't have any ketchup or mustard to add to the thing, Vechni sausage, she says, I'm not interested. The chulda goes back and into the rechem, veki osoy, and regurgitates the vlad back into the rechem. This child says, Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive. I thought I was going to be eaten alive by the chulda, and the chulda, Baruch Hashem, had rachmunis, and regurgitated me back into the rechem. And now the vlad comes out the second time. The first time it came out inside the body of the chulda. But now it's Yotze Me'elav on its own. Now, what's the din now? Because of the fact that it's touching the rechem now, since Paitis Arechem. Yeah, but this isn't the exit number two. The first exit, that when it came out of the rechem, it didn't touch the Koisli Arechem. So L'chayit didn't get Kedushas Bukhar. So I put it back in, and it came out a second time. Oh, maybe now it gets Kedushas Bukhar. That's Igmar Ishai. And then the Gemara has even a more interesting question. Hidbik shnei rechomim v'yotze mizeh v'nichnas lezeh mahu. You had two female animals. Both are in their final throes of labor. And what happened? And you had one of the two starts emerging from the rechem, but instead of being yotze the avir hu oilam, the rechem of the second animal was right next to it. They were lying together in the same labor room and in the same labor bed, on the same labor stool or whatever. And the Bechor left its own mommy's rechem, and instead of coming out to Yatzel Avra Oilam, Nicholas says, I went into the rechem right next to it and never saw the Avra Oilam. So now the question is, Mahu, Didei Potar. Certainly it's going to potter its first rechem. In other words, we have over here two mommies, so to speak, and the first mommy from which the blood originally came out, that was its real natural mother, it comes out, that's fine, it's going to point to that rechem. There's nothing to talk about. The question is, the lavdi day, will it also be pointer the rechem of the second animal, so that the owner, assuming that there's one owner of both animals, he only has to go and give one pet the rechem to the kohen, because this Vlad did a double Peter Rechem. Both the Peter Rechem on its own mommy's Rechem, and since it went into the other Rechem, and eventually it came out, so it was pointed to the second Rechem too. So there, just give one baby to the coin and say, I now have one for two or two for one. This.
What if they were separate owners?
So the same thing should apply. The second, if you hold that baby is pointed both Rechemim, then the second owner, when the kohen comes and says, hey, I know that your behemoth was pregnant, please give me the vlad. Mister, you already got the vlad from my friend Yanko. Well, yeah, but that was for his behemoth. Guess what? This vlad was such a good vlad, it was a bechor for both behemoths. How is that possible, bechor for both behemoths? It left one rechem, and it went into the other rechem, and now it came out of the second rechem, so it's pointed both rechem.
Who's on the hook?
Nobody's on the hook. The mitzvah to go and give the bechor is only if you have a peter rechem. I don't have a peter rechem, says owner number two, because the one that was pointed to the rechem was owner number one's animal, which has been given lock, stock, and barrel to the kohen. So we've both been yoitze the din of the peter rechem by this single animal that went that was pointed to both rechem. Come on, you can only be pointed to your own mommy's rechem, you can't be pointed to somebody else. It's not a stepson type of situation. This is you can only be pointed to the rechem in which you were formed and developed and formulated and eventually were born. Not if you went into that second rechem, like Malav Leimoyd. So all of these shaylos that the Gemara asked, take Kotish B'yatayt. Obviously, these are more theoretical than actual, but the Gemara wants to open up our minds. What's the key to the din of Peter Rechem? Does it have to be dafka your own mother, Vlad, or even another mother, etc.? Okay, we have another bunch of similar shaylas. Boy Ravach, niftachu koisli beis rechem mal. Now, what means niftachu? Normally, the baby fills up the entire rechem. For some reason, shortly before birth, the rechem of this animal became bloated. It became very, very big, and niftachu, magically, the walls of the Beis HaRechem opened up very, very wide and very, very broad. And guess what happens? Now when the baby comes out, it slips out, it doesn't slip out, having to struggle coming out that you have to go and give an epidural to the animal because the mother is in pain. The mother says, I've never had such a painless birth until now. After all, this was the first birth anyway, because it's a bechor. But anyway, the point is, niftachu kaisli beis harachem, and then the vlad falls out, and when the vlad falls out, it's not even touching any of the kaisli beis harachem, because there's so much additional avir inside the rechem, and it fell out from the middle. It didn't touch the beis harachem on the side, the kaisli beis harachem. Isma'am. Avir rechem maktish vo'ikar. When the Torah says that the peter rechem is the one that becomes kadosh, does it mean the physical walls of the rechem, or does it even mean the avir harechem? We have a similar concept, as you'll recall, when we're talking about tumas beis ha'amim. So the shayla is, tumas beis ha'amim, does it mean did you have to set foot in the beis ha'amim and chutz la'aretz to become tamei, or even in the avir of the beis ha'amim? Nimor always says the nafkimina would be gabeshi the tevel migdal, where you're inside the avir but you're not touching the ground, etc. See, here too, the baby comes out of the rechem, no question about it. But when it came out of the rechem, it wasn't touching the walls of the rechem, and there was no chatzitza like we had before with the talis and with the shilyam and the aligutas. Is okay, moriyet oy bazoy mal avir rechem makdish? Is it the ear space inside the rechem that's makdish? Obviously, this kid came out of the blood, came out of the avir rechem. Oy demen gias rechem mekacha. It's the touching of the walls that are mekadesh, and this baby is not touching the walls. Now, we don't mean it never touched the walls. Of course, throughout the gestation period, for the last 5 months, 7 months, Avada was touching the wall. But remember, the Kedusha's Bechar only hits when the baby leaves the Beis HaRechem. And when the baby, Kiyivolei, state in Pasuk, at the time of Leda, when the baby left, it wasn't touching the walls. It just slipped out from the middle, from the Avid. So if you hold that the Aver is Makdish, it gets Kedushas Bukhar. If you say that only the walls are Makadish and give it Kedushas Bukhar, it wasn't touching the walls. Valeka. And the Gemara blinds with the Shaila, the Gemara is not Poisha the Shah. We're going to continue on with one. I'm sorry?
It's so wonderful. It was like a fruit of the loom.
Fruit of the loom. Very good. Beautiful. Now just before we continue on to the next Mori Mar Barvashi, just going back to the beginning of these series of Shailas, the Gemara initially asked Korchoy the Sivmahu with the bast that's like the bark of the dekel tree, the pine tree, or the talismahu, the shulyosimahu. Why did the Gemara give three separate examples? So Rashi said that initially the Gemara asked about a Siv, which is totally strange and totally foreign. And if you're going to conclude that that's certainly a chatzitza, so the Gemara says, what about the shul yosei mahu? Because shul yosei l'chayre is not a chatzitza because that's natural. I'm sorry, mutzminismina, exactly. Exactly right. So the Rashi says that's the reason why the Gemara goes after the siv. Even if it's going to be poached, that is not considered to be the same min, and therefore it's a chatzitza. But the shul yosei mahu l'chayre, that's mutzminismina, like you said, it's not a chatzitza. That's all very good, but what about the talisei mahu? Talis is also like the Siv. It's not its own min. Why did we have to repeat both Siv and Talis? So from Rashi's Mashmad, in fact, Rashi didn't have the girsa of the Talis. If you look at Rashi, that five lines before the wide lines, five lines before, Rashi said, Im tim tzaloymer, if you're going to be poached. Siv havi chatzitza, the min shaloy b'minoyhu, shilyam yavi chatzitza, because that is min b'minoy. But what was the mit Talis? So Zaytzechos Rashi didn't have the girsa of the Talis. But we do have that girsa. So why, after we asked about Siv, do we ask about Talis? So Ramoisha writes in Ignis Moisha a beautiful svara. Kasolka Daitzechemina, Korchei B'Siv will say, come on, that's certainly a chatzitza, because that's Eina Minay. But Talis, since it's the derech when a baby is born, sai to human beings, and Lahavdol when it's born to Bahaima, that you quickly vikle it on, you go and wrap it around with a talis.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not talking about a talis, you know, with four tzitzis over here. We're talking about a beged to give it warmth. So this is ki urche. So even though taka, technically the baby is not touching the walls of the rechem, but it's doing what you normally do when you have a birth like that, that you put in that swaddle or whatever, this towel or sheet to go and warm it up to keep it warm. Ah, so that's ki urche. Maybe that would still be considered to be matzah min es minoi, because that's what the way you normally do it. And if you're going to say, nah, come on, you know, it's still not the same. Well, bishul yosim out. That's really min b'minoi. So that's what Rav Moshe adds, the Gabi the Talis. And we go on to the final shaila now, bo'i Rav Acha. No, I'm sorry, bo'i ma Rav Ashi. That's about 10 lines to the bottom of the omid. Nekru koisli beiser rechem ma. The baby was inside the beiser rechem for the last 5 months, 7 months. It depends on behema daka, behema gasa. And everything looked swell and looked great. And guess what happened? At the last minute, the behema got some sort of infection, apparently, and that caused the walls of the beiser rechem to be neka. Neka would mean totally dissolved. They totally deteriorated, disintegrated. And where is the baby? The baby is now floating somewhere in the cavity in the halal habahena. But the baby says, I got to get out of here. I can't stick around any longer. And the baby starts coming out. It doesn't come out through a beis rechem. So now, is it considered to be a peter rechem or not? Says, you might not understand your shayla. Nekru or lesnu. If there are no more koisli beis rechem, then it's not poitus or rechem. So there's nothing to talk about. So it does not get kedushas bechar. So what was your shayla? The shayla was nekru betolei betzavore. Ah, what does that mean? Not that it dissolved and deteriorated, disintegrated. Their beis rechem is still here. How it was nekar mimikoimoy, where it normally would be in the body of the animal, somehow, magically, it left that location and it moved to the right or moved to the left, but it's still around the neck of the animal. It's just an expression, meaning that the animal, the vlad, and the rechem both travel to the north or the south within the cavity of the mami behem. So the question is, my bimkoyim mekachi, is it only in its mokoyim, in other words, where the base of rechem is naturally, then it gets kedushas b'char. But once you move it to the right or to the left, it no longer has the status of a beis harachem because it's not b'mkoymoy. It's the wrong location. Where does it say in the Torah that the rechem has to be here or there? As long as it's poitus harachem. And since the vlad is traveling with the rechem and eventually comes out of the rechem, so I don't care that the rechem went to the right, to the left, north, south. I thought that was the last shayla. No, one final shayla. Boyimene rabiyemi merabzeir. Nigmamu koisli beis harachem al. Now, nigmamu, we've had this nigmamu already in the past. Nigmamu means to kind of to scrape out the top of it. In our situation, this nigmamu is referring to that the koisli beis harachem were in their place. They didn't move, same location as before. They didn't expand, like the Gemara said before, niftachu. Everything was the same. But somehow or other, the inner layer of the koisli beis harachem got scraped off. So that, therefore, normally the wall of the beis harachem is likewise 3 inches wide. Now it's only 1 inch wide because somehow, some way, the koisle beis harachem got scraped inside and they all fell out. And now the baby's once again within the koisle beis harachem, but no longer the thick koisle beis harachem. Now these are thin koisle beis harachem. Mal, what's the halacha now? So this is similar to the niftachu case, meaning because now it's the vlad is kind of floating within the beis harachem because it's so much more avir than you had before. It's not these thick walls that are holding it tightly. Now it's loose inside this larger beis harachem. So when the baby comes out, is it poitus harachem and it gets kedushas bechar or not? Amalei, so Reb Zeira responded to Reb Yirmiyah, Kanagis bebayidi boyelan. You know what? We had a similar shaila, and lechoyda we could be poishit your shaila from our shaila. What was our shaila? The boy Reb Zeira, v'yamri laboy minei Reb Zeira mirabasi. What was the shaila? Oymin meruba ala poritz v'yatzad derech poritz. Poritz meruba ala oymid v'yatzad derech oymid mai. What we're talking about is again a situation of the beis harachem where unfortunately part of it fell away. It disintegrated. It dissolved. Part of it is still there, part of it is not there. So the Gemara assumes that if when the baby is emerging, it comes out of the parts, and assuming the parts means where it dissolved, and assuming the parts was the roiv, then there's nothing to talk about. It was not poit the beis harachem because it didn't touch the walls of the rechem as it's emerging from the mami animal. The shaila rather is azot. Oymin merubah parts. Roiv of the walls are still intact. Part of the walls have unfortunately fallen away. The Yatzah Deraporet. And this animal, the Vlad, didn't go out through the Oymid side, it went through the Horit side. Meaning that the front of the Rechem, the front being that part which is towards the Avir HaOylam, was Parut. They didn't have any walls over there. But further back into the Mami's womb, yet you did have the Oymid still remaining there. So the Oymid was Merube, was Roif. The animal, the Vlad, went out through the Derech Parut. Like we had before the Shaila of Rubai Kikulai, do you say that you go Basar Roiv, even though it went Derech Parut, but it's as if it went through the Oymid, because Roiv of this world is Oymid. Or do you say Faket? Parut's Murmul Oymid. What happens? The Parut is Taka the Roiv. And the animal, as it emerged, went through the Derech Oymid. Oy, so what's the din now? Since it went through the Derech Oymid, so it went through the Rechem, it's Paitis Rechem. But that Oymid was insignificant, it was only a minority of the Beis HaRechem. Most of the Beis HaRechem doesn't exist anymore, it was Parut. Out. So therefore, if you go Basaroy, it's as if that animal is coming now through the Parut. So that was the Shaila that we asked. So, L'chayla, we can be poshed our Shaila as well, about this case of the Nigmamu Koisle Beis HaRechem, that the walls of the Beis HaRechem have gotten now much thinner, and therefore it's not touching the Rechem anymore. So it's like going out through the Derech Parut. Let's be poshed from that Shaila. Zokti Yamara, you know how we can be poshed it? The whole Shaila that we asked was that there's at least some Oymed Ba'olam. Even though most of it, Parut, is Merubah, but some of it is Oymed, and the Vlad, if it comes through that Oymed, it's touching the Beis HaRechem. Abenigmamu, where you don't have any more, any touching of the Beis HaRechem, because the inner part of the Beis HaRechem has all been scraped out, like Kamloyla, that wasn't even a Shaila. So, in other words, since the Shaila that was posed, this second Shaila, about the Parutz, Merubah Oymed, Oymed Parutz, was Dafkin a case where some of the Oymed is still around, that's where the Shaila is. Do you deem it as if the animal came out through the Oymed, because that was the Merubah, even though the Parutz was the Merubah, it came out of the Oymed, do you say that it touched the Beis HaRechem and it patters it? But in our case, you don't have any Oymed at all. So there's nothing to talk about. Avad and Avada, the din would be that it's not Poiter Es HaRechem, and this child does not get a din of Kedushas Bechar. With that, we continue on to the next Mishnah. We went through those fascinating Shailas, and now we come up with a new Halacha. We've been talking about Ben Pekua since the beginning of the Perek, with the Ben Pekua, the child inside. Normally, how do you envision it? There was a pregnant animal, they shechted the mommy, they're opening up now the mommy to go and take out all of the flesh, and the organs and the innards, and they discover inside that there's a Vlad, and normally the Vlad is alive, and the halacha Ben Pekua is, you do not need to go and check this Ben Pekua, at least min ha-toira, because it was nitter al yedei ho'ein. Oh, beautiful. Yes, we're going to have in a few blood that they made a gzeira drabanan, that if you let this Ben Pekua live, that years later people say, oh, why aren't you shechting it? Oh, it was a Ben Pekua 5 years ago. Okay, but min ha-toira, it's going to be machloikis in the ayin dalit, but we hold the Ben Pekua min ha-toira, you do not have to shecht it, it's part of the mother. Now our Mishnah tells us even a further chiddush. What happens if you opened up the mother after the shechita, and you find that the uber nebuch meis, ay, nebuch, this little Vlad inside died. Guess what the din is? As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, even though it's dead meat, it's a dead Vlad, you're allowed to eat from it. Make sure you make a brucha, yeah, for sure. Go and zalts it to take out the dam. But it's mutter ba'achila, it doesn't have a toiras nevela, as a din like a shchuta. Why is that? Because uba yerach imoy, it's part of the mami. You did a good job on the mami, you checked out the lungs, and there were no tarfis, nothing. So just because inside the mami there's a dead uber, doesn't make a difference. That became nitter la'achila al yedei shchitas ho'ein. Now the Gemara Shaila is not about whether it's kosher or not. The Shaila is about whether it has a status of a nevela or not. The Gabe being metame the nevela. So the Mishnah says, "Behemish meis ubra betoich me'el." The ubra is dead. And before the shechita, the roya put his hand, the roya being the shepherd, put his hand into the womb of the mummy and touched the dead uber. Shteito on the Mishnah, bein bebehemet tamei. Say if you're talking about, lemoshel, a horse or a donkey, which is behemet tamei. Bein bebehemet tamei, or you're talking about a cow, or you're talking about a lamb or a goat. In all cases, tahar, the roya is tahar. But I touched this dead uber. We'll see in the Gemara momentarily what the svara is. Rabbi Yosi, really, I mean, it depends. Vitamei, if you're talking about a horse or a donkey and you touched the dead vlad, your tummy. However, if you touched a dead vlad inside a cow, inside a goat, etc., the tahir is tahir. Frank Timara, my time in Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say that we all confirm that the vlad is dead? If the vlad is dead, it's an availer. Why does the Tanakama say that it is that the roya is tahir? Amr of Chizda, I have a kal v'chaymer. If you wanted to eat from the dead uber after the shechita, in other words, our Mishnah is talking about that the roi put his hand in before the shechita. But eventually we're going to go and shech this animal. When we shecht it, that shechita will help to be matir b'achila. After all, every shechita, as you recall, we learned yesterday, has two purposes. Number one, to be matir b'achila. And number two, to be matarasei b'dein nevela. After all, for us, the major concern, the major issue is to be able to eat it. That's why we go and shecht animals. But in times of Chazal, they shechted it not only because of the heter b'achila, but also it was matar b'nei nevela. So madach the shechita of an animal is matar the ben pekua. Even if the ben pekua is dead, yet you're allowed to go and eat it, it's matar b'achila. So isn't it going to accomplish at least the matar b'nei nevela, that it shouldn't have too much nevela? So that's the reason why when the roi puts his hand in, he does not become tummy. That I can understand. Because behemet toira, the cow, the sheep, we're going to go and eat. So it's matir b'achila, your kal v'choim is gevaldik. If it's matir b'achila, certainly matar b'dei nevela. But behemet tamei minolad, when you shecht this behemet tamei, if you were to go and shecht this horse or this donkey, you're not going to be able to go and eat the horse or donkey. That's ridiculous. So then, how can you go and make this kal v'choim? Madach, it's matir b'achila. It's going to be matir b'dei nevela. I don't have the matir b'achila. So how does the Tanai Kama say that even by a horse and even by a donkey, that there is no tumas nevela? Because I have a hekish. What's my hekish? It says in the pasuk, if you have the Torah or Ashole, it says in the pasuk, if you eat from a behemah, which is an edible behemah, in other words, a behemah tahira, and a given a flasa, if the behemah was not kishochten, but it died, it was a nevela, yit madarv. Now the Gemara is bothered by the extensive lashon v'chiyomis ben behemah shelechem liochla pashut pshat v'chiyomis ben behemah. If your regular kosher animal shelechem liochla that is edible, if it dies, and again, and vlasi it matarif. However, the Gemara learns a little bit different, and the Gemara says v'chiyomis ben behemah zu behemah tmeya. Oh, even a behemah tmeya like a horse and like a donkey v'chiyomis ben behemah if it dies. And then ashehilechem liachla zubehema tahira, or if a kosher animal dies, what's it in? Iskish behema. So in both cases, if it dies, it's an avail. Now the Gemara says iskish behema tamei the behema tahira. The two have a hekish because we're saying behema tameya in the same line toich kadeidiba with behema tahira. So we make a hekish. Ma behema tahira ubra tahar, like we just said based on the kal v'chaymer. A behema tameya ubra tahar. Based on this, hekish. Oh, that's why the Tanakama holds. Not only in the case of the behemah tahira, but even the case of behemah tameya. If the roya touched the dead vlad inside the animal, he is tahar. Now that works very nicely according to Tanakama. What about Rabbi Yosef Glili, my time? Remember, Rabbi Yosef Glili said that if you touch the behemah tahira inside, tahar. But if you touch the behemah tameya, meaning the horse or the donkey, then you're tamei. Why? Obviously, Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't learn the Hekish from Behemoth Tahir to Behemoth Tmeya. Why didn't he learn the Hekish? I'll tell you why. Because Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef Glili is relying on the following drush. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yama Kra, B'chol Hoylech al Kapav, B'chol Hachayah Hoylech al Arba. That's pasuk number beis in Torah or Ashalei. B'chol hoylech al kapav, any animal that walks on its hoofs. B'chol achaya hoyleches al arba, inside any chaya hoyleches al arba that walks on its 4 feet. Now, what is this pasuk talking about? So Rashi says we're talking about a behema tmeya. How do I know you're talking about behema tmeya? Because if you were talking about a behema tahira, you wouldn't say that it's walking al kapav. You would say that it's walking on its parasites. Just like we say every time by a kosher animal, it's got to go and be because behema mafreses parasus yisas shasa shtei frosais. Why does it use the term kapav? Because we're talking about a non-kosher animal that doesn't have split hooves, it doesn't have parasites. Ah, it has kapav. Ah, so we're talking about a non-kosher animal. And it's b'chol
achai. I have a question.
Shoot.
Wouldn't this be eliminated just from the perspective of, you know, you have an animal mixing a species here? They're not from the same species.
At the moment, you're talking about this part of Cholhei
Lechal Kapav? Well, I understand, and I think on this whole daf, there's a number of references on that.
There's no question a behemoth tamei and a behemoth tahira are different species. But if they're both coupled together in the same pasuk, says Rav Chisda, I have a hekish. Hekish means a Kodesh Baruch Hu, by putting the two together, didn't do it by happenstance. There was a special kavana to tell us that there are halachas that apply to behemoth tahira that also apply to behemoth tmei. So which halacha applies? Says Gemara, that just like the vlad of a behemoth tahira, if it's dead inside the mami and the roya touches it, he's tahar. Same thing applies if I find a dead behemoth inside a behemoth tmei, inside a horse, that it's also tahar. The roya is not tamei. Why? There's no svara for it. It's all because of a hekish that we say that one is similar to the other. But this new pasuk that we're bringing now is only talking about non-kosher animals. Chol hoylech al kapav, you have a uber that's hoylech al kapav. It doesn't have prosois, so it's a non-kosher animal. And it says b'chol chai hoyleches. The Gemara is darshaning, like we had yesterday, behema ba behema, here too, hoylech al kapav. Bichol, it doesn't say Bichol Chaya, it says Bichol with a base. So this is a Vlad, which is a non-kosher Vlad, which is within the Chaya Hoyleches Al Arba. That Hoyleches Al Arba means also that it's a Behema Temeya that doesn't have prosois, it just walks on its four legs, its 4 feet. What's the halacha over there? The Pasuk says we're talking about a Vlad, Kol Hoylech Al Kapo Kol Chaya Hoyleches. So, Mahalche kapayim b'chaya t'meisi l'cha. The pasuk at the end continues on. Chol hoylech al kapo chol chaya leches al arba t'meim heim l'chem. So we're talking specifically about an uber. Even though the pasuk on the surface is not talking about an uber, it's saying chol hoylech al kapo any non-kosher animal. No. Since it says chol hoylech al kapo b'chol hachaya, we're talking about a vlad inside the mother's rechem, the mother's stomach, that has a status like the mother. And it's all tummy. Ah, Zukti Mariat, that's the svara of Rabbi Yossi Aglili in our Mishnah, that this pasuk tells us, according to Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha, that when you have a vlad in a behemoth tmeya, how do I know we're talking about a behemoth tmeya? Because it's hoylech al arba and hoylech al kapav, not parasites, not prosit. So it's a behemoth tmeya. That being a behemoth tmeya, it remains tummy when the roya puts his hand in and touches it. Frey tomat lamayata. What happens if you have kolit b'me'ei para litamei? Now, what means kolit? We had kolit ready yesterday. That means that it does not have split hoofs. Normally, a kolit would be a reference to a non-kosher animal, but we're saying it's b'me'ei para. It's mommy and it's daddy. Both of them were kosher animals. A par and a para mated, and they produced a kolit. I don't know if that ever happened in history, but apparently, at least theoretically, it could happen. So if you find such a kolit, which is a bona fide par and para species, it's not, you know, transplanted from somewhere else. It was born by a para. Litame, it should be matame if the roya puts his hands in. Why? To mahalche kapayim b'chayahu. Because it's mahalche kapayim, it doesn't have split hooves. It's a kolit. It's inside the mami. Zoi bazoi. I should go and say that this blood is metame the roya's hand. Everything more mahalchi kapayim mahalchi arba. V'hai mahalchi arba mahalchi shmoinahu. What the Gemara is saying is, that Pasuk is talking about that you have a tummy dika animal, a kolut, kolich al arba, but it's in a chai ha'yileches al arba. Arba means four hooves, not eight hooves. What means eight hooves? If you have split hooves, says the Gemara, we can count it as twice. So your regular kosher animal, it has 4 feet, but it's walking on 8 hooves, because every one of the hooves is split down the middle. She says, shesa shtei frosois. Every foot is 2 brushes. Ah, so since the Pasuk said, b'chol ha'olech al kapah, b'chol ha'chai ha'oleches al arba, it means that both the vlad inside is a non-kosher animal, as well as the mami is a non-kosher animal. Mash'enkin, the kolit, the meipara, since that is mahalach kapayim, inside a mahalchi shmoina, a kosher animal, it has the status of a kosher animal, and that's why it says in the Mishnah that the roya will be tohar if he touches it. But frankly, what about a part of the me'egomel? Part of the me'egomel, in other words, here we're talking about a bona fide gomel, a real camel, and the part inside it is just a, what they call a mutant inside meipara. So now, what's the status? Loi tetame. You should go and say it's not metame. Why is it not metame? Because the para inside the baby is mahalchi shmoina. It goes, it has split hooves. The mahalchi arbahu, hoilech. And it's going within the goma, which mahalach arba. But the pasuk only says it's tame, it's called hoilech al kapav. Mean a mahalach arba inside a mahalach arba. But here you have mahalach shmoina, the mahalach arba. So the chariot should go and then be tohor. Why would it be tamei? V'chol hoylech. I'm sorry, somebody said something.
Yes, how can you have a Torah in the womb of a gamal?
How can you have a kolot, the me'ei para? Whether these...
No, I'm talking about the me'ei gamal.
I understand exactly what you're saying. What the Gemara is talking about is, in English, there's a fancy name called a mutant, which means it looks different than its parents. For instance, what happens if you have 2 white male and female mating together? And then magically, when the baby is born, it's a black. So you say, how could that be? I don't know if this actually ever happened. But we're talking about the theoretical. Were you to have a gomel mating with a gemalah, a Mr. and Mrs. Gomel, Mazel Tov, they got married, it was wonderful, and then 7 months later they give birth to a baby, and guess what, the baby is a parah. Not that it's really a parah, it's really a gomel, but it's a mutant, it looks like a parah, looks like a parah, smells like a parah, acts like a parah, even though it was born to 2, a gomel and a gemal. So you can tell me it could never happen. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. But were it to occur, and were the roya to put his hand in, and discover that this vlad is dead, would he become tamei or not? According to Tanakam, it doesn't matter. Bein behem tamei, bein behem toir is always toir. But according to Rabbi Yossi Agli, it says, no, it depends. By tamei, your tamei, toir is toir. And what is this based on? On this pasuk, so now, how do you deem this parabim e gomel? Do you look upon it as being a non-kosher animal, and therefore the roya's hand becomes tamei, or do you look upon it as being a kosher animal, and it's not tamei? So that's the Gemara Shai. Therefore, says the Gemara, V'choyel hoylech l'rabbi is part of them a gomel. That a part of them is born inside a gomel, the same halacha would apply. What means the same halacha would apply? That this para, even though it looks like a para, but since it's a gomel, it has a din of tamei, and therefore the roya puts his hands in, he becomes tamei. Kolot v'mekluta litamei. What about a kolot v'mekluta? Now, both of these, the kolot and the kluta, are both tahoyra. In other words, you have a mami animal, which is a mutant, it's a para, it descends, it has a yichas brief, that it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, para, ben para, ben para, bas para, bas para, of all generations. And unfortunately, this para does not have a split hoof, but rather it's kolot. Kolot means that it's merged together as one, fused together as one. And guess what? Like mami, like baby, the baby also has such a fused foot. So now it's gomel kolid b'me'e kluta. No, I'm sorry, not gomel. Kolid b'me'e kluta. Litame, l'choira, it should become tame according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So mahalchei arba, mahalchei arba hu. Because after all, we both of them are halchei arba. Sorry, what's up to you?
Yeah, it's so, the possible.
Exactly. It says, even though the kolit and the kluta were both tohar animals, and the Yosef Glida says in our Mishnah, but Torah is tohar, but lamasa, both the mami animal and the vlad animal are mahalchei arba. So therefore, it's kol hoylech al kapov, the 4 feet, not prosais. Bechol achai hoyleches al arba. So it's arba b'toich arba. And therefore, it should go and be tomei. And for the moral, Hachi Yahani Kavachoyim, the Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said at the outset, what was this Kavachoyim? Matach, the mami is mater b'achila. This kluta, even though it's a kluta, but it's a kosher animal, if you were to go and shecht it, the bed pekua inside would be edible. Not only is it edible, it's the Kavachoyim come to tell you, matach, it's metayr, le'achila, matu l'achila, and about it's metayr, midei, nevei. Frank Dimori, it's no hashayim. Maskav la rabba chadvuya bar ami. Chazer bimei chazerta loy litame. What happens if you have a bona fide chazer? Not a chazer, it's a kosher animal. A regular chazer that is a vlad inside its mami, which is a chazira. What's the din now? According to our Mishnah, basically, it says the roi puts his hands in, the baby is dead, he becomes tameh. No, loy litame. The mahal chishmoinu, mahal chishmoinu. Everybody knows that the chazer has chazer fislach, where although it doesn't chew its cud, but it has split hooves. So now I have taka a shmoina mitoich shmoina. So it's not this pasuk kol hoylech al kapa kol chaya hoyleches. So it should have a din that the roi puts his hand and he should be tohoir. El Nachma Yitzchak. Nachma Yitzchak says, you don't have the kav. You don't have the kav chaimer, but you have the hekesh. El Amr Nachman by Yitzchak mihocha. You know what? Let's forget about Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk kol hoylech al kapa. That got us into a lot of trouble. It said four within eight within four. It got very confusing. Forget about that. We have a brand new pasuk. Nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei. Now this pasuk is talking about a person has to bring a korban chatas oyle v'yoyrit. What happened to this person? Ki siga b'chol tamei. He touched any type of tamei. He touched lemushal, a dead sheret. Or he touched a nevelis chaya tamei. Or he touched a nevelis behema tamei. Or he touched a nevelis sheret tamei. Anything that made him tamei. And then, the Pasuk doesn't say it, but we're going to see from Rebbe shortly, and after that he ate Kudishim, or he went to the Beis HaMikdash Beshogeg, he asked to bring a Chatos, not a regular Chatos, but a Chatos Oyle V'yari. Frank Tetzimar, V'chinevelis behemet tmeya mitama u'betahira loy mitama. I don't understand. This Pasuk refers to nevelis chaya tmeya, nevelis behemet tmeya. What about nevelis behemet tahira? Why don't we mention that also in the pasuk? That if a person touched a dead cow, a dead lamb, a dead goat, he becomes tameh. He has to bring a chatzos oyle v'yoyrit. Why are you only talking about nevelis behemet tameh, like a dead horse or a dead donkey? Why don't we talk about the dead tohira? Tohira loy metama. El eizezeh ze ubishe b'tameh tameh b'tohira tohar. Ah, I know why the pasuk says nevelis behemet tameh. We're not talking about the behemet tameh, the mami animal, we're talking about the vlad inside the animal, which is dead. If you touch it, you touch an avelis behemet tmeya, and then if you eat kudishim and you go to Beis Mikdash, then you have to bring a korban chatzos oyle v'yoyrit. But if you were to touch an avelis behemet tahira, normally an avelis behemet tahira is ultimate tame. But here we're talking about you touched a vlad, which was an avela of a behemet tahira. Oh, that's not metame. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That by Tahira it's Tar, by Tameya it's Tameh. So therefore I have a raya that there's a chilik between a Vlad, the Hema Tahira, and a Vlad, the Hema Tameya, like Rabbi Yosi Aglili says. Because according to the Tanakama, there's no difference. Even by the Vlad of the Hema Tameya, he's also Tahir. So this distinction that you're trying to make, that the Pasuk says, Nevelis Behema Tameya, and not Nevelis Behema Tahira, that this is Metami, and that's not Metami, it's from the Vlad. Ella Ezezeh, what is the case? Ubershim Tameh is Tameh, but Tahir is Tar. Very nice. Zoki Mara Mi'ach, the Nafkalim Midrav Nachma Yitzchak. Now I know the Mokoyer of Rabbi Yosi HaGlili in the Mishnah from this Pasuk of Nachma Yitzchak that distinguishes between a Vlad Behema Tahira and a Vlad Behema Tameh, Rabbi Yitzchak Lomeli. What do I do with Rabbi Yitzchak's Pasuk that we said, you know, put on the side? Let's forget about it. What am I going to learn from the Chol Hoylech Al Kapa B'Chol Chaya Hoyleches Al Arba? So tomorrow I'll tell you what we're going to learn. He loved Rabbi Yitzchak Avamina, Kulei L'Karebi Hudiyasa. If it wouldn't be for Rabbi Yitzchak, I would go and say that the Pasuk is coming to tell you all for Rebbe. Now what does he mean, all for Rebbe? So we pointed out that in this second Pasuk, the Nevesh Kisiga B'chol Tomei, Nevesh Chayit Tomei, Nevesh Behemet Tomei, the Pasuk says he has to bring a carbon oil of the yard. But it doesn't mention what else he did. My friends, when a person touches an Avela, although he becomes Tomei, he doesn't have to bring a carbon chattas oil of the yard because it comes Tomei. All he has to do is go to the mikveh. He doesn't have to go and bring a carbon. It's only if he went to the base of Igdish, or he went into the eight Kudishim. Then he has to bring chatzos oil v'yari. So that's how Rebbe learns pshat in this pasuk, that the pasuk is not coming to tell us about vlodois. It's coming to tell us the din that you only have to bring your carbon oil v'yari if and when you not only became tamei, but you also went to the base of Igdish. That's what I need the extra pasuk Rebbe Yitzchak for. More details in Yetchim we'll have in tomorrow's Amid Aleph, what exactly the drasha of Rebbe is. We're just going to end off with a beautiful braisa. Tanya Omer Yonison. Namti Loyla Ben Azai. Namti is from a Loshin Nu'um, like you have at the end of a shtar. You write Nu'um, Yankel Ben Beryl, whatever it is. So Namti Loy means I spoke. Rebbe Yonison says, I spoke, I had a conversation with Ben Azai. And what did we talk about? They didn't talk about Trump. They didn't talk about Knicks. They only talked in Torah. Is Laman Unavelis Behemet Tahira Shemitama. Unavelis Behemet Tameya Shemitama. I know from the earlier pasuk that we quoted, the Chiyomis Ben Behemet, top of the Yomit, Chiyomis Ben Behemet, Subahemet Tameya. Ashi Lechem Leochla, Subahemet Tahira. What does it say in the pasuk? And again, Ben Avlasa is Tame. So I have a pasuk that teaches you both in the Velis Behemet Tahira that it's Metame, and the Velis Behemet Tameya is Metame. The Velis Chayet Tameya Shemitame, I also know. How do I know the nevela of a chayit tmeh? Chayit tmeh means like a tiger, a leopard, an elephant, any non-kosher animal. Chayit tmeh, not animal, a wild beast. Wild beast dies, it's metam. How do I know that? That's from the pasuk by the oil of Yoyrid, where it says in the pasuk, nefesh kisiga benivlas chayit tmeh. Chayit tmeh, she becomes tameh. Freitimar nevelas chayit tahira loy lamanda. What happens if you have a chayit tahira, like deer, like venison? As we know, there are a few types of wild chayas, which are mutar b'achila. Which are those? The Gemara is going to quote it shortly. It's in the pasuk, ayol, tzvi, yachmur, dishon. There are various things. We don't even know the definition of all of them. But whatever they are, those are chayas tahiras. How do I know if you have a nevela of such a chayas tahira? How do I know that it's all tzimetama? Loi lamadnu. So minayin, where is the makar? So Nam Li, see, he told me, again, Loshin Nu'um, he told me, Kol Hoylech Al Kapa B'chol Chaya Ha'Hileches. What does that mean? Kol Hoylech Chaya, and the Gemara is learning now, B'chol Chaya, as if it says, V'chol Chaya, V'chol Chaya Ha'Hileches Al Arba, any Chaya that walks on the face of the earth, doesn't define it as a Chaya Tmeya, or as a Chaya Torah, any Chaya Ha'Hileches. What's the din? It is, if it dies, because that's the end of the pasuk. Kol hayvich al kapim kol chaya lechus al harba. Tamei mem lechem kol and again and avlasam you become tamei tumas. Oh, so I have here to learn the din of tumas levela by a chaya, any chaya, even a chaya tohir. Namti loy. So I told him back. V'chinemar v'chol chaya. V'alinemar ela v'chol achaya. It doesn't say kol hayvich al kapim v'chol chaya harimesis or hayleches. It says kol hayvich al kapim. That come to tell us the earlier drushes that we spoke about, the mahalchi kapayim b'chayahu diyasa, meaning a vlad that is mahalchi kapayim, that it doesn't have prosois, it only has the four merged kolot, the types of kapayim. That's what the pasuk comes to tell you. It's not coming to tell you about a chayah tohira tmei, that it's metamei, a chayah tohira that became an avela. So that's not a good pasuk. So how do I know? Normally. So he said to me, I'll tell you. Now this is Reb Yoinesin saying now to Ben Azai. Ben Azai asks, Reb Yoinesin. You had one of your Rebbeim was Reb Yishmael. Umay Yishmael Oyim B'dabra Azeh. What, learn, maybe you have a Psadrasha from Reb Yishmael. Sinamti Loi says, yes, I have a drasha from Reb Yishmael. Remember, we're coming to answer, how do I know Nivlas Chaya Tahoira is Metame. So he said, I know. It says in Pasuk, Chiyam is ben behema, zu behema tmeh. Asher hilachem li'acha, zu behema tahir. So we took care of the two behemas. And besides that, lamanu chaye b'chlal behema, u behema b'chlal chaye. We also know that chaye is included as a subset of behema, and I know that behema is a subset of chaye. How do I know that? So put your finger here, but look on the Omen Aleph just for a moment. See the fourth line. Chaye b'chlal behema minolan. How do I know chaye is a subset of behema? Tichsiv. It says in the Pasuk, a Pasuk in Parashas. Re'ei, zois ha-behema asher toichev. You're allowed to eat the following behemas. Says the Pasuk. What are those behemas? Shar, seksovim, v'se'izim. Next Pasuk. Ayol, tzvi, yachmor, akoy, tishoin, so'oy, v'zomer. I am familiar with a shor, seksovim, v'se'izim. But ayol, tzvi, v'yachmor. Those are behemas? Says the Mori, yes. Chaya is b'chal behema. Chaya is a subset of behema. Then skip two lines. Also, behem is b'chlal chaya. How do I know this? I have another pasuk. This pasuk is in Parsha Shmini. Zoyis chaya asher toichlu mikol behem asher la'oret. This is the chaya that you're allowed to eat from all the behemas. You just said now chaya, and then you say behema. That is okay. Said is behema b'chlal chaya. So therefore, going back now to where we're holding here in the Amid Beis, I therefore have from these two pasukim chaya b'chlal behema, and behema b'chlal chaya. That being the case. Chaya tohira is b'chlal behema tohira. Chaya tmeya b'chlal behema tmeya. So we answered our question. You asked, how do I know nevelas chaya tohira is metame? Because chaya tohira is b'chlal behema tohira. And just like you said before, hashahila chamli ochlozu behema tohira, that behema tohira, the nevela is metame. So chaya tohira is b'chlal behema tohira, it's also metame. Right, behema tmeya b'chlal chaya tmeya, because behema is b'chlal chaya. Behema tohira b'chlal chaya tohira, because behema is b'chlal chaya, so it doesn't make a difference. Tomei, not tomei, it's b'chlal. Behema tomei is b'chlal chaya tomei. Behema tohira b'chlal chaya tohira. When Ben Azai heard these tohiras from Reb Yoinasin, he was so nispoiled. He started jumping. Ublashin azeh amarli. He said to me, Chaval al Ben Azai nebachni Ben Azai. Halavai, I should have gone to the Bismedrish and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, and I should have learned from him such beautiful drashes. He feels bad for himself that he didn't learn it. Had he no chai b'chal behema, behema chal chaya, we'll continue with that tomorrow. Have a good day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagi, Ben Zaki.